This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Do we want to start with the Rockies or the Avalanche? Where do you want to start, Bry?
Let's start with the Avalanche.
Okay, the Avalanche. We were telling you yesterday, Chris McFarland, the general manager of the Colorado Avalanche, had been granted permission, which is a big thing going on in the hockey world right now because the Vegas Golden Knights, VGK, is not allowing their former coach, Bruce Cassidy, to interview right now. Even though they fired him.
Their former coach, who they let go, they didn't want him anymore, but he's not allowed to talk to anybody else. This sounds like what the Packers did with Favre.
Yep, correct. That's exactly what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And the NHL came out yesterday and backed him and said, listen, he's under their contract. They've got every right to do what they're doing. In right, wrong, or different, Vegas is a 1-0 lead in the Stanley Cup finals right now. But they didn't want him talking to any division rivals, anything like that, and they're paying him $4.5 million still. That's the one thing.
It's not a bad gig.
No, they've still got the control over it, though. They still got that control over Bruce Cassidy saying you can't interview. The Avs took a different approach and said yes, go ahead and talk to a division rival with the Nashville Predators, and Chris McFarland took the job a mere hour after the news broke. Well, 2 hours after the news broke that he was interviewing with them, and then an hour after our show ended, he had taken the job in Nashville, and it's a promotion for Chris McFarland. It's not a
lateral move.
No, it's not. He's the president of hockey operations.
Yeah, I was wondering.
A lot more control now. The buck stops with him. He doesn't have to talk to anybody else. He gets to do what he wants. A significant pay raise as well that comes along with it.
No, so, I can't fault him.
No, not at all.
Going after that at all.
Especially because in my opinion, he's pulled all the right moves off for this Avs team, and they still haven't got there. I think that's why he was hanging on, because we talked about guys like this. They want to prove, hey, I can take any dumpster fire. The same reason Paul DiBattista is now here with the Rockies, that he wants to prove that no one else has done it. I'm the guy who can do it. And they're just lunatics like that. So McFarland goes to the Nashville Predators, taking on that role. It was announced that Joe Sakic is he's going to be the general manager for the foreseeable future. And they've slapped the interim title on Joe Sakic. He's obviously already been in the front office, but he's taking on the general manager duties. If you remember, he was the GM in 2022 when the Avs won the Stanley Cup Finals, and then he handed it over to Chris McFarland and promoted himself almost. He promoted himself upwards in the organization. That came out. I think that's great news. And that was kind of my thought.
Yeah, it's a great plan B.
Yeah, that was my thought, too, is like, hey, you've got the guy that created this monster of a team. You've got Joe Sakic there now, who was obviously working diligently with Chris McFarland. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they're fine in that position. But the one that if you just take a step back out of Avs fandom and look at it and say, okay, Chris McFarland is up for general manager of the year right now. You know, he was. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's been announced yet. The Avs lose in the Western Conference. The Avs get their butts kicked in the Western Conference Finals. Now you've lost your general manager who's up for general manager of the year. How has this team gotten any better to get over the hump? Especially when they said Jared Bednar will be back next year. So it is now confirmed Bednar will be back coaching this team next year. And it just looks bass-ackwards, in my opinion, of saying, well, you've got the GM of the year. Bednar is not a finalist for coach of the year. And now you've still got Bednar in what is a lame duck year, because his contract is only up for this next year. You lose the guy who's pulled off all these moves to get Bednar everything that he's wanted, and they still haven't been able to get over the hump. I think it's a bad move, not moving on from Bednar.
Oh, I think you're a fool. So, that's nothing unusual.
But why?
But because they had everything. They were right there, and they ran into Vegas, who's did to Carolina last night what we saw, where they're just pinching it. They were making it, ugly You know, it got that. We ran into them. The season was phenomenal. Everything was phenomenal up until those four games. You know, that was so yes, I am totally good with it. I think we have everything. We just need them to play better when it comes to the playoffs. I think they completely ran out of gas and mentally got shot. And yes, you can say, well, that's Bednar's job to do that. But these are grown men. These are professional athletes. They should be able to go out and do it. They just did not perform. Our stars did not perform. Nobody was able to be themselves against Vegas. This is still, in my mind, the best team in hockey. I want them to roll it back next year. I would take exactly what we had this year and do it again.
The Avs only played 9 games before they got to Vegas. I mean, they had one of the shorter runs in the playoffs for advancing to the Western Conference Finals.
Pretty dominant.
Vegas was beat up. Right. So, like, the tired from the short run, I mean, they played one extra game that they had to. They lost one to Minnesota was all that they had lost before they ran into Vegas. And to your point about what Vegas did last night, I mean, Carolina scored 4 goals last night. The Avs scored 7 in 4 games. Like, they had an offensive plan in place of, hey, this is how we break out of what Vegas was trying to do, something that Bednar could not draw up that entire time. And I get it. It's an unfortunate reality. But when you're at this level of competition and have the team that the Avs have, your season is judged based off the final 10%, not the first 90. And the final 10%, if it doesn't result in playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, so much so that a lot of people think that the opening for the Stanley Cup Finals was made for Brent Burns and the Avalanche, and then they had to rework it because there was hints of that last night. And you don't get there. Unfortunately, that's not good enough. And you pair that with the last couple years from Bednar and this team, and that's my concern. I think Bednar's a fine coach, but I genuinely worry about his ability to motivate those top tier guys. And I think we saw that in that last game when people were disinterested. The heart and hustle wasn't there against Vegas. It was just nowhere to be found. You've got to have a guy that has their ear and their full on attention. And I worry that Bednar may have lost that.
So do you think that at the end of the year, really only one coach deserves to have their job again?
No, expectations vary for every single team that are out there. Like Vegas, you know, obviously Vegas said, hey, what Bruce Cassidy's doing right now is not good enough. We got to make a move to try and get it done. And they pulled that lever at the exact right time. Now they've got a 1-0 lead in the Stanley Cup. Like you look at Carolina right now, they weren't the odds-on favorite to go win it. They don't have the most talented roster. It was a great coaching job by, I don't know his name, but he's got one little white spot in his hair, and it's all everything else is jet black, one little white spot. He's done a phenomenal job, but when the Avs have been perennial, supposed to be having cup after cup, or at least playing for it, and they haven't been back since 22, that's a problem in my mind. Now, we'll see. Sakic can pull those levers. Maybe Sakic gets more involved even with the players in this role, but Chris McFarland gone, and Jared Bednar staying, which is the opposite of how I really would have liked that to go down.
I find it just shocking that 4 games can make you determine a guy who should have been coach of the year in most of our minds going into this doesn't get to the mountaintop and gets beat for those 4 games, and all of a sudden they don't know anything. They're crap. They can't get the job done.
I didn't say any of that, but before the playoffs started, I said if Bednar doesn't at least make the Stanley Cup Finals with this team as currently constructed, I don't think he should be your coach. So I was saying that before the playoffs even started to roll around with this. It was a make or break year in my mind. But now you've got a guy on a 1-year contract in Bednar. So do you extend him? Or do you just let him coach this last year with all these players not knowing if he's going to be the coach again next year? I don't think the lame duck thing matters as much with professional sports because it's not like you're recruiting and trying to get people to commit at that time. But does that instill questions for people, you know, players in your mind? I don't know, but Chris McFarland gone. I do think they'll miss him, but the fact that they've got Joe Sakic right there, as long as he's got that same energy level and same desire to do it at this point, I think they'll be fine in the front office moves, and there will be moves that will have to be made this offseason.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Yeah, and I don't know how they can.
I will take this team in a heartbeat. It's all year, it was the best damn team in hockey.
They lost to Vegas.
Well, That happens, man. That's how hard it is to win.
I understand, but we can't just look at it, in my opinion, in this one singular year. You look back at the other first round exits and all the other things that have gone on, and I respect it. Like, I get, like, Sean Keeler was on with Brady right after the loss, and he goes, if you're in the middle right now and you don't know if you want it, or if you are and keep Bednar and fire, you're all right in this, because it is the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And that is the question. And I just thought it was time for maybe a stronger personality, a new set of eyes and ears on this team to try and get them over that hump.
If the Broncos were to make it to the AFC Championship game again and lose, would you want Peyton fired?
No, because the expectations are there. I don't think you can look at the Broncos and say they have the best roster in football. Like, I don't think you can say they are the clear-cut favorite. They're not even the favorites in the AFC to make the Super Bowl. Like, the expectations differ on it. And I get it. Heavy is the crown, but that is where Bednar has been. So he's back. He's back next year.
Yes, and I'm glad. And I'm glad that they agreed with me.
Okay, can we agree that if they don't get it done next year, then it's time?
I don't know. I have to see the season play. I don't know what circumstances are going to be out there.
Exact same. Number one, and then lose in the playoffs again.
I will tell you over and over, I will take getting to the championship of the Western Conference every year and not making it. I'd be totally fine.
Landeskog and McKinnon and
would love to see him win it, but I love the excitement of getting that far.
All right.
I don't want to take a chance of stepping back, and I don't think they do if they keep Bednar. You bring somebody else in, you're running the risk of that not working.
See, and I don't, because there is so much talent on this roster, I am of the belief that they could put you behind that bench, and they would
still make
the
playoffs. Well, then why do they need to get Bednar out?
Because you need a little extra oomph to get over that hurdle. Whatever that hurdle has been since 2022, they haven't been able to do it. I mean, they lost in 7 to the Stars last year because they couldn't score on the power play. And that was a problem all last year. So what do? They fired the power play coach, and then the guy Bednar hired, the Avs had the worst power play in the league all year. So you don't need a ton with this team, but I think you need a fresh voice. Rockies on the other side?
Sure. God. You exhaust me, dude.
You're welcome. 8:20 the time now. You are listening to Good Morning NoCo.
Mom.
Dirty 30 looking a hell of a lot more achievable, a hell of a lot quicker.
Yeah, it really is. You guys are in the home stretch there. You needed this series against the Angels. Wrapping it up today. Not a day game, which I was expecting on the getaway day, but they're off tomorrow. But the Angels tonight again, what, 7:30?
7:38.
7:38.
7:38.
Yes. Rocks pulled out a nice win yesterday. There was really no doubt in that one.
Yeah, just dominated from the word go. Sagano was incredible again last night. Five innings, 2 earned runs, 5 Ks.
Just unexpected. Performance by him this season so far.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I was thinking about it, I saw this yesterday online. You know, Kyle Freeland hasn't been bad this year, except for the days that he pitches. I laughed so hard. I just had to share that. That was a great joke. I shared it on there. Gave the guy his credit because that was an incredible post on X.
That is pretty good.
Sagano was great, and the offense is just rolling now, man. Hunter Goodman finding his swing. His home and road splits make no sense to me. He's hit 15 home runs now. 11 of them have been on the road. When you play Coors Field,
you would think that it would be absolutely flipped on that.
Yeah, you would think so. And so it makes no sense. But he hit another home run last night. Willie Castro with a 3-run home run, too. Willie Castro is the most infuriating Rocky on the team, I think.
I love the guy.
He drives me. He swings at some of the. I mean, yeah, they all do at times. They get that. Edward Julian looks like a big bust right now. I mean, he's batting. He fell below that 200 mark last night. Ran into just a dumb double play as well. But they get the nice 8-2 win. And when we can pick apart stuff in an 8-2 win, I'd love that over an 8-2 loss. Because you normally just throw your hands up and say you're done. But 24-38 now.
And we talked about it a while back, and it still is true that if you look at the overall standings of Major League Baseball, if you look at the National League, you've got your few teams on top that will be on the mountaintop. They're there. But there are actually probably 8 to 10 teams that are right in within a couple games of our Colorado Rockies. You know, where, you know, you roll off a few in a row and all of a sudden you're not down at the bottom of the National League. You can be like 4 or 5 up from there. And I know that sounds like, oh, big deal, but it's a huge deal
from where we've
for
been.
A team that I've got to think still overwhelmingly leads Major League Baseball in plus minus.
Not overwhelmingly anymore. They're minus,
really?
Minus 76, and the San Francisco Giants are minus 67.
Okay, because I think we were closer to 90.
We were creeping on 90, but
yeah.
Those 8-2 wins will help that a lot.
They certainly do.
And so the Rockies are not in the cellar of the NL West right now.
Well, now I want to watch the game tonight, too. I know we've got the NBA Finals kicking off tonight.
Yeah.
But actually interested in the Rockies and see if they can get a sweep of the Angels.
That would be a lot of fun. Michael Lorenzen goes tonight. He's been really bad, as we've talked about it and has been documented. But the San Francisco Giants have a worst winning percentage. The Los Angeles Angels have a worst winning percentage. And the Kansas City Royals have a worst winning percentage than the Colorado Rockies right now on June 3rd, which is, it's not a lot, but it's something.
No, that is, and we knew this year we were going to be looking for little milestones,
mm-hmm.
little things that are just affirmations of progress. And I think we are, well, I don't think, I know we're getting those.
We are. We certainly are. And the Rockies went back-to-back last night for the first time since, Hector was a pup.
Isn't that cool to see?
To steal that from Marlo down there. But yeah, he, and it shouldn't have been. It was the dumbest, drunkest home run I've ever seen in my life. Willie Castro just nukes a ball. As soon as, 433
feet.
There's
no doubt on that, baby.
None at all. And then T.J. Rumfield steps up and drills one, and I'm like, okay, Goodman's getting excited. I'm like, that looks like it's going to be caught at the track.
Little short.
Joe Adell, who's one of the best Major League Baseball outfield defenders in the league, he comes up, goes to catch it. It glances off the end of his glove,
yep.
off of his head, and over the wall for a home run.
Yeah, it would have never gone over. I mean,
no.
He probably would have got a double out of it. You know, it probably would have bounced off the wall and run from him a little bit.
Should have been an out.
But it hit him in the glove. You're right. But
he can Seiko'd it.
Of all places for it to go after ricocheting off your glove, to go off the top of your head, and you're going, man, I just got hit in the head with a ball, and it went over the fence. I mean, what are your feelings as a player when something? It's not like, okay, yes, I could have caught it, but this was just, I've only seen it once before, and that's the Jose Canseco one, but that's the only two times I've seen it.
I think it goes over a lot better if you win the game, and they didn't, obviously, but I think it also goes over because Joe Adell,
is so good.
Earlier this year, robbed 3 home runs in one game.
I remember that. I remember that happening, and I didn't realize it was him who had done that.
Yeah, that makes it like, okay, I can talk about this. Like we can handle it now because I how good of a defender I am. But Rockies 24-38. We need 6 wins before Brady and I can shave our faces and cut our hair. The hair hasn't gotten out of control yet.
No,
the beard certainly has. Do they win tonight? When will we be shaving?
Yeah. They're going to take care of business tonight. Put them at 24. And then
at 25, that would put us at 25.
25,
yeah.
And then next we are taking on the Cubs. Is that correct?
Milwaukee first.
Okay, Milwaukee,
the
and then the Cubs,
and then the Cubs. Okay. Both those series will be at Coors Field.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough task.
The pitcher, for me, the Brewers, it always ends up who's pitching for them because they have like Jacob Mizorowski is pitching on Friday, and I don't know if you've watched any of him. He's right there with Paul Skenes. I mean, he is that dominant with Paul Skenes. So my thought, lose that one Friday, win Saturday, lose Sunday. So that gets us to 26. Then you get the Cubs, win one of those against the Cubs, 27. And then you've got the Athletics. And can you win two? Like, and then the Cubs? I think it'll be right around our birthdays, Brady and I's birthdays. Mine's on June 14th. His is on June 17th. I think that's about the time frame.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say by next weekend, you'll be shaved.
Wow. Okay. By next weekend.
Yes.
Not this weekend, but the weekend after.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that would be starting that series against the Athletics.
Yeah, I'm giving you, 9 days.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
That'd be huge. Faye says, well, the way my freaking Cubs have been playing may not be a hard task at all. That is true. The Cubs have been really bad.
They hit a skid.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were on fire.
They've got two 10-plus game winning streaks and one 10-game losing streak over 10
games. That's schizophrenic.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah.
8:35 the time now. Let's get a break now. You are listening to Good Morning NOCA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The time, 100 games left. Stay on this pace, should still lose 100. Time for June swoon and July nosedive. Boys will shave and get to get their ears lowered by Flag Day. John Fort Diamond.
Okay. Flag Day is your birthday, isn't
it? Flag Day is my birthday.
Okay.
That would be fantastic. So we did the math, and by we, I mean AI, did the math, and at their current 24-38 record, the Rockies are on pace for a 63-99 season.
Dodging that 100 loss season would be the fourth in a row, and that is more than anything what we want to achieve.
Yes.
Do not get four seasons in a row of 100 losses.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tough.
John texting in that the Rockies are currently on pace to win 63 games this year. Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, Smash Trash or Compost coming up on the other side, presented by A1 Organics. Don't forget, Kyle Clark going to join us at 9:05 after hosting the Republican debate last night and getting ready for the Democratic gubernatorial debate tomorrow. I've used that 5 times. I'm going to keep using it. 8:39 the time. Now let's get to the KFK News and Sports Center. The time. It's Good Morning NOCA. We're presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, my co-host. It's time for Smash, Trash, or Compost, presented by A1 Organics. They're going to be open every Saturday in June so that you can still responsibly take care of those yard projects, get some mulch from them on your way out. Learn more at A1Organics.com. Brian, where are we going today with Smash, Trash, or Compost?
We're going with somebody who was at the Greeley Stampede last year. I believe Parker McCollum, who just won in the ACM Awards, I believe it was. He brought home one of the big ones. This guy's been on fire. Parker McCollum, is he like George Strait cool kind of guy?
Yeah, he certainly seems
he's
like
he's got that vibe,
yeah,
doesn't he?
He certainly does. I'm a big fan of a lot of his stuff.
And I have not been exposed to a lot. I know of him. I've followed him and so forth. Now, he's got a new song that is just hitting the bottom of the charts right now.
Mm.
So it's going to be working its way up, and you're going to be with this one. These tend to take 6 to 8 months. To run their course. So this is what you're going to be hearing him. It's called Killing Me. I have not listened to this, Killing Me. haven't heard this before, but let's see what it sounds like.
All right, Parker McCollum with Killing Me. Tell us Smash, Trash, or Compost. Let's take a listen.
One
I don't want to stop this.
I know. When you said the name of the song, I was like, I don't know if I've heard that. And then I was looking a little deeper, and that whole album. When you said George Strait, it dawned on me the comparison that I will use is that there's really not a Parker McCollum song that I can't listen to, no matter what the mood is. It's just easy listening for me, and that's certainly what that one falls under. So, what do you guys think? Smash, trash, or compost? 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. What were your thoughts, Brian?
Absolutely melted me. That is 100% smash. It gave me everything that I love in music. The voice of what just felt like a crooner effortlessly, delivering these great vocal, this great lyric after a 30-second plus intro of just a gorgeous, unique guitar sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then his vocals kick in and you wonder, can it carry what this set up to? And then it takes you to another level and then the chorus hits. That is flat out sexy. I mean, that is just an absolutely sexy song.
Yeah, I agree. It's effortlessly, I think, is the word with him. He's just got that voice that comes through. And he's got your party anthem. And he can get into this world as well.
Wow.
And, there's a reason why, when he releases something. And that was one. He had a couple others off of that album, Brian, that were ended up. Because we did Solid Country Gold way back when.
I knew we had done one of his songs.
That was an early release off of that album, that Solid Country Gold, and it was on the charts for quite a while. And now
this is from the same project?
It is. And What Kind of Man is the one that's, I would imagine it's up on the charts right now too, off the same project. It was a deluxe edition that he had dropped on this album. And so they're working their way through there, and now Killing Me is like the next song up, but they're going song after song after song, getting, the full album almost on the charts at this point.
Well, I want the entire project. After hearing that, again, haven't been exposed to a lot of Parker. I've heard so much about him. I need to spend some time because that voice, as Faith, wrote, his voice melts like butter.
Yeah.
And it truly does. I mean, it turned me into a puddle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big puddle. You can swim in this one.
Yeah.
But, that is absolute dynamite.
Yeah, for sure. Texter here from the 970. Yeah, no need to wait around on
that.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Texter from the 970, oh my God, smash. Let's see here. Texter from the 970 again, smash, easy listening. Faith had said his voice melts like butter, but she also said he could sing the dictionary to me, so smash as always for his music.
Yeah.
And then there's HVAC guy. What a dirty sound, not really cohesive. Got to trash that one. You're a dirty sound.
No. No, some love that intro, and I did.
Yeah, Sports says, what a snooze. No wonder Tanner thought he had heard it before. Sounds like a million other songs. Sexy? Sure, if by sexy you mean boring. Trash.
Oh, wow, you are so off on that, Sport. That does not sound like a million other songs to me. It has a nostalgic feel, but that vocal coming in on there? Yeah, I Sport, love you, but disagree heartily on that one.
100%. 100%. That's great by Parker McCollum. There you go. There's Smash, Trash, or Compost presented by A1 Organics. They're open every single Saturday at their Eaton location. Learn more at A1Organics.com. 8:53 the time. Now let's get the latest in the tech world. Here's Kim Komando.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll.
Everyone sings that.
Dobie Gray.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I like the Uncle Cracker version as well.
Not bad. This is all-time classic. That's one of those songs, any bar. It's like Sweet Caroline.
Yeah,
you can break that one out, and everyone's going to be singing along to that.
100% correct. John finally had a good text on the J9 Agency's text line, 888-530.
Is there an awards ceremony?
0043. We just played Smash, Trash, or Compost presented by A1 Organics, and it was Parker McCollum, and John says, that song is definitely a smash. Smash. If I were to play that for somebody, I might even be mislabeled as a romantic. That's how good it was that it could make John into a romantic. Well, let's go from that to talking about what the hell we saw last night on the Republican gubernatorial debate. Kyle Clark is going to join us. There was just some literally jaw-dropping moments in that debate last night. And I'm curious as well what came across through the television versus what came in that room. There was some stuff. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on Scott Bottoms, if I'm being honest. I think that guy is just a waste of space up there. I want to talk about what he got from Victor Marks and Barb Kirkmeyer, who I consider the two front leading candidates in this race. I want to talk with Kyle about what he got from being in the room. But the moderator from last night's debate and the moderator for tomorrow's debate on the Democratic side, Kyle Clark, host of Next on 9 News, going to join us on the other side. We'll also get to more of your responses to our right-hand construction poll question. What household chore is the stone cold worst? I hate loading the dishwasher. We'll get to your responses coming up.
Unloading for me.
Yeah, we'd make a good team.
Yeah.
It's Good Morning NoCo, the Deuce. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.